Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Gwynn Room in the Governor's Annex in Carson City. On the program today, Sean Whaley, political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2015 Nevada Legislature is sponsored by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Retail Association of Nevada, and the Nevada State Medical Association.
The doctors at iCare Associates specialize in surgical and medical treatments to maximize your vision results. They can change the way you look at the world.
LipiFlow is an exciting new technology used in the treatment of chronic dry eye disease.
The procedure is quick, usually about 12 minutes, virtually painless, and performed in their surgical suite. Don't let dry eyes interfere with your life.
We perform a comprehensive evaluation to determine whether or not you will benefit from LipiFlow.
Your sight is critical. Call iCare Associates for an appointment.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
What does the massive Tahoe Reno Industrial Center offer to Northern Nevada? Well, there's an incredible amount of oversized infrastructure in place, along with hundreds of sites to accommodate relocating or expanding businesses. The park includes IT ecosystems, call centers, data centers, e-commerce distribution, and there's defense system manufacturing, clean energy, there's renewables and recycling, and we're just getting started. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're joined by a good friend, Sean Whaley. He's the political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
You were working late last night on the lands bill, and it's interesting because this is a combination of wilderness folks from both Utah as well as Nevada who are campaigning on this. Share with us this lengthy meeting.
Yeah, it was a long, long hearing. A lot of hearings have gone long this year, a lot of intensity. The Senate Joint Resolution 1 seeks to ask Congress to convey some of the federal lands in Nevada to the state so they could control the lands, possibly earn revenues off them through the sale of grazing or geothermal rights. It's something a lot of state officials have pursued in the last few years. It's gained momentum around the West in other states as well, like Utah. The governor supports it, and a lot of lawmakers support it in the legislature, but there's very, very strong opposition from conservation groups, wildlife groups, outdoors enthusiasts who just see it as a situation where we might lose access to those public lands. That's their concern, that the state might not be able to manage them, may have to sell them, and they'll just lose access. So it's a very intense issue on both sides.
So the bottom line is for the wilderness folks, it's the cost. Will the state be able to maintain the cost of doing this without selling off land, as you say? And you know, economic development would seem to be a part of this puzzle as well.
Yeah, and the proposal right now is for about 7 million acres, which are our lands already designated for disposal by Congress for economic development purposes, and some checkerboard lands along Interstate 80 there where the ownership is mixed between private owners and federal government. But there's just concerns some of those lands, conservationists say, are valuable and should not be turned over to private hands, that they're valuable for outdoor reasons and so on. So it's an economic development issue for a lot of people, but there's just a concern on the part of some folks who enjoy the outdoors that the state won't be able to manage those lands, and we'll have to sell them off, and we'll just lose access to public lands. That seems to be the issue.
Although it seems, looking at the other side of the coin, that, you know, with the recent lands bill, there was an awful lot of land put into wilderness areas, and Senator Reid certainly seems like he's pushing to promote even more, especially down in the Nye County area.
Well, that was the argument on the side of the conservationists, was that the system works now. So why change it? And that is going through Congress, having hearings, getting the debate going on what lands need to be conveyed for economic purposes and maybe what lands could be designated wilderness or preserved in some way. So their argument is it works the way it is now. We don't need to move in this direction.
But I think Congressman Amede would say that the lands bill passed that wasn't the one that he started, but the one that now Senator Hella started when he was in Congress. So as a congressman. It was 11 years in the making.
Yeah, the argument that the system works now, I don't know if everyone buys into that, because clearly Congressman Amede was a little bit frustrated with the process of getting a bill like that through Congress, and everyone wants to weigh in. It's not an easy process.
Well, and as he said, everybody knows, he said this on this program, everybody knows if you want to get a lands bill passed, you got to do it through the Defense Authorization Act.
Well, he learned a valuable lesson.
Yes, he did. Okay, so SB 170 is going through the process here. And my understanding is, and this is a bill that's designed to help companies like Switch, but it will also include groups like Apple and Microsoft. And my understanding is that Apple has already decided to expand, not in Nevada, where it has 1,000 acres, but it's decided to dispose of that 1,000 acres, or not dispose of it, but not utilize it, and move their expansion to Phoenix. There's rumors that Microsoft may be doing exactly the same thing, and that raises concerns, you know, about Switch. What can you share with us on this?
Well, the bill obviously is aimed at incentivizing companies that are already here to expand, and Switch was a focus of the governor's State of the State speech that they're going to build a big new facility in southern Nevada. They want to expand in northern Nevada. The data storage business is a big business. They were interested in the Tesla deal that was hammered out in a special session. They were around the building looking for a possible way to be included in some of the tax incentives during that process. Obviously, that didn't happen, so they're here at the session looking for some financial support for their continued commitment to Nevada. I don't know what Phoenix may be offering or what Arizona's offering, but it's a very competitive process to try to woo these companies or keep them here and have them expand here. So I don't know what may be happening for those other companies to relocate, but this bill would assist those companies financially through tax abatements to stay here in Nevada and expand here. So, it's a bill I think the governor is very strongly supportive of. I can't speak to what's happening with those other firms.
All right. Let's take a break more with Sean Whaley when we come back.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Through our history, the trucking industry has changed a lot. Today's environmentally compliant trucks are cleaner than ever. And through safety initiatives and technology, we've reduced the number of truck-related fatalities by 73%. This is due to the dedication of the hardworking men and women in the trucking industry, who safely deliver 69% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Closed captioning of Nevada newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sean Whaley. He's the political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Interesting bill moving along now to put the governor and the lieutenant governor on a joint ticket. And my understanding is that the lieutenant governor, Mark Hutchinson, along with former Governor List, are both in support of this bill and talking about past times when there were problems between the governor and the lieutenant governor to run it as a joint ticket. What's your take on this?
Well, it also has bipartisan support because former Governor Bob Miller also testified in support of this resolution yesterday at the same committee that heard SGR1. And the belief is that the two candidates are one and the same ticket. They should be on the same ticket. People should be able to cast one vote for the governor and lieutenant governors like is done in many other states. But a lot of people testified in opposition to that bill. They just see it as taking away the choice that they have as voters to pick who they want to be the lieutenant governor. The lieutenant governor is a potentially highly prized position because you can easily be steps away from becoming governor. And it's also a stepping stone to other public office. So a lot of the just sort of average folks out there who testify on a lot of these bills around the legislative building this session just see it as a way of taking away their ability to make a decision that they think is important.
Well, and the only person I can think that caused a problem when they were lieutenant governor was neurosurgeon Lonnie Hammergren, who, when he was governor for the day, changed a lot of things. And when the governor came back, he changed him back again.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
That was a long time, but I recall that, and there was a concern that Mr. Hammergren might maybe take it upon himself to implement a policy or a resolution or a proclamation of some sort. So that was an issue during his term in office. And I haven't heard of it be a big problem in recent years at all. I could see why, you know, candidates would like to do that. If you're a strong governor, you can pick your lieutenant governor. You don't have a bitter maybe primary fight like we had with the Republican lieutenant governor's race this past year. So I understand why they may want to do it, but the general tenor of the average folks testifying didn't seem to be too thrilled with the guy.
You know, and that's come up a lot lately. You know, the school board issue was another one where that came up. People really would like to have the opportunity to continue voting. And even though we don't get people in great numbers voting, it just seems as though people want to continue to vote.
I do think you're right that anyone who's trying to take away the opportunity to have the public weigh in on issues, whether it be the school bond rollover bill that's languishing right now in the assembly, or the case of the lieutenant governor. It's just a situation where people see their ability to weigh in on these issues being taken away, and they don't like it.
Okay, so you brought up another hot topic here, which is the school bond rollover situation. The Republicans kind of put a poison pill in there by saying that they want to get rid of prevailing wage, along with that forebuilding of the schools. But then late yesterday afternoon, it appears as though the Republicans were saying that, you know, come this Friday, they're going to go it alone in terms of just having a clean bill. Tell us your reading on that.
Well, I think it's SB 119, and it would roll over school bonds so schools could, or school boards could construct schools, particularly in Clark County, although Washoe's in need as well, without going back to the voters. And there's a lot of support for this because of the need for new facilities and rehabbing facilities. But there's some people who, again, object because they're taking away the ability of people to vote to continue that process. And then the prevailing wage aspect of it has generated a lot of opposition from contractors, labor unions, Democrats, who just see it as a attack on a living wage, and that the prevailing wage isn't a huge factor in the cost of construction of the schools. All these things are in debate. But in the assembly hearing last week on this bill, there appeared to be a lot of support for the construction workers and the contractors from not just Democrats, but some Republicans too. So it looks like the bill's in trouble. So it may be that the Republicans now realize that the only way they're going to get the school bond rollover through is to take out the prevailing wage and send a clean bill through. They'll lose some Republican votes, but they'll gain Democratic votes. So ultimately, they would hope to be successful and get that bill to the governor. Time's of the essence.
Right. And as you and I were talking about before we got on the air here, you know, this session is moving so fast. And it appeared at the very beginning, and especially with the governor actually signing bills, that, you know, the Republicans were going to get their way. This seems to be a big anchor that has suddenly dropped on the Republicans to where, well, maybe you're not going to get everything you wanted here.
It does. This looks like, I think they thought they could push it through, but it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. We still have to wait to see if the Assembly Committee can vote on that bill this week and get it out. But they need 22 Republican votes in the Assembly to pass this bill, and there's 25 Republican Assembly members, and getting 22 of the 25 may be difficult given the concerns over the taking away the voter ability to weigh in on this and some other factors. So it could be a blow to the effort to do this, some critics call the ram and jam, getting the bills through, just push them through.
And it's interesting because, you know, there's been a lot of discussion over the last, you know, many years, really, on prevailing wage, that it costs so much more that you could build a lot more schools and or just in minimum just government buildings. You could get a lot more done for the same amount of money. But the fight has come back very, very strongly here.
It has, and that is the concern, that the costs go higher on government construction projects when prevailing wage, which is basically a survey of wages, and they have to pay the prevailing rate here in Nevada. That does add to the cost of the buildings. And Ben Kiekhefer, a Republican who was pushing that exemption for the school projects, indicated that he is going to come forth with another bill to address some concerns about how that prevailing wage is set. So it's possible that by using that bill to address the issue head on rather than including it in the school bond rollover, which is a top priority for the governor and many other people, might be the way they have to go.
Okay, and so on the other side of the coin here, it seems like the Democrats are now starting to find their way in terms of, you know, a power shift.
It does look like with the school bond rollover issue that the Republicans may have to back off on their initial proposal to put those two pieces together. That would seem to be a win for the Democrats, but it's a long way before that bill has landed on the governor's desk. So we'll have to see how this plays out. There's a lot going on behind the scenes on this issue.
And just remind me, we're still in the first week of March, right?
It's the fifth week, yes. Hard to believe.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2015 Nevada Legislature is sponsored by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Retail Association of Nevada, and the Nevada State Medical Association.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Right now, Nevada blocks violent criminals from carrying concealed loaded handguns in public. But extremist Michelle Fiore and her friends in the legislature want to weaken this common sense law, allowing criminals to carry hidden loaded guns, even at schools and on college campuses. Anywhere we go, violent criminals and the dangerously mentally ill could be carrying loaded handguns, putting us at risk. Call your legislator. Tell them to stand with Nevadans, not with Michelle Fiore's extreme agenda.
The University of Nevada School of Medicine has been making Nevada healthier for more than 45 years. Our groundbreaking research is making an impact locally, nationally, and worldwide. And we're making a difference with doctors providing medical care near you. As Nevada's statewide public medical school, we offer an educational value amongst the highest in the country. We are partnering with leading Nevada hospitals and healthcare institutions to combine teaching and learning with outstanding clinical care. Join us in improving Nevada's health. And yours.
Just one. That's all I ask. You've been laying eggs for years. This should be easy for you. Just one golden egg. I know you can do it.
Most people already have a golden egg. They just don't realize it. Go through that jewelry box and pull out everything that's broken, out of style. You know, things you'll never wear again. Gold and silver coins work great, too. Take them into Check City and get cash on the spot.
Please? Please? Please?
Everyone knows only geese lay golden eggs.
Check City, when you need cash.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sean Whaley. He's the political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Gaming seems to be somewhat quiet at this session so far.
So far they are. I think what they're waiting to see is more details on the governor's tax plan. Clearly taxes are a priority for gaming as they are for many of the major industries around Nevada this session, given the governor's budget proposals. So the governor, surprisingly enough, is going to testify personally on his tax plan next week at the Senate Revenue Committee. That should be interesting.
Very rare.
It is very rare. He does not often appear in front of a committee. In fact, I'm trying to think of when he did the last time. It doesn't come to mind. He does visit the building. He talks with lawmakers, and he has them over to his office. And so there's a lot of discussion, but he isn't publicly walking around the building very much. You don't see him very much.
Do you remember the last governor that testified like this?
I really don't. I think Governor Kenny Gwynn may have testified on some of the bills, and he certainly wandered around the building because he loves speaking to people.
Right.
And so you'd see him in the legislative building. He just saw it as a place to go over and talk and discuss ideas with people. So I know that Governor Gwynn had a bigger presence, public presence. I know that Governor Sandoval is there, but it's more behind the scenes kind of a thing.
Okay, so tell us about this poll that dropped yesterday.
Yeah, it was very interesting that the poll that was announced with great fanfare supported the governor's tax proposals. He's got the business license fee proposal to raise the new money for his education program, and there's some other revenue ideas that he has in there. But that's the main issue, the business license fee and how that would affect different businesses. And the seemed to indicate there was voter support for that.
Well, and it was ironic. I got the poll yesterday morning, and it's put together by the same people that ran his campaign. And surprisingly, everybody polled, or the majority at least, seemed to agree with just about everything the governor said.
Right. Well, clearly, if you're going to poll people, it depends on the questions you ask and the sample of people. So I suppose there would be a way that you could try to produce results that you wanted. Although, again, I'm not impugning the integrity of the polling process that was used by these folks, so not at all on that. And it isn't necessarily surprising that voters might support his tax proposals because they tax business, they don't tax individuals with sales tax increases, that kind of thing. So it wouldn't surprise me.
And what are you hearing around the building in terms of alternatives to the governor's tax proposal? Because I know that a lot of people in the business community and the chambers are not happy with this revival of, you know, what was shot down during the election cycle.
Yes, his proposal does have some similarities to the teacher tax measure, the margin tax proposal that voters clearly shot down in November. So he's taken some criticism for that. It is somewhat based on the Texas model. And clearly there's some blowback on that. And I guess the other option out there that seems to have some support right now, assuming anyone's really going to ever support taxes in any great degree, it would be an increase in the modified business tax as opposed to creating this new fee that people would have to pay. So at the end game, it's probably going to be some sort of a business levy that gets imposed on folks to support the governor's budget and his education reform plans. But we'll have to wait and see.
Well, and business has said all along, even during the election cycle, they're not against providing money for education. They just didn't want to do it that way.
Right. So, again, the business activity tax right now seems to be if we're going to do business tax, that seems to be the preferred model over the business license fee. But with poll support showing a favorable reaction to that, I guess the governor has some cover to push that in the committee hearing, and it'll be fun to watch that.
Yeah, I wonder when NPRI will be doing their poll that will show the exact opposite. Another bill that's causing a lot of consternation is campus carry. You know, a lot of letters to the editor from females attending colleges are very concerned about the idea of people carrying weapons on campus.
Yeah. It's a very controversial bill. There are people who feel that having honest citizens who have concealed carry permits on campus would make the place safer for students and everyone else. But a lot of students have voiced concerns that they just don't see the need, that the campuses are very safe places, and that it would make them uncomfortable to know that people were carrying weapons in a place where they want to feel secure. So it's a very emotional debate, and the Second Amendment issues are very high priority this session in the legislature. I don't know how that's going to play out. It'll depend to some extent on whether the governor supports the idea, because Senator Roberson has said that he's not going to send a bill to the governor that the governor will veto. So the question is, where does the governor stand on campus carry? That might be a clue as to whether or not that bill has any traction.
And that's where we have to leave it. Sean Whaley, we have plenty of time left in the session. Pace yourself, sir.
I will.
Okay, we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
There is a lot at stake when you've been seriously injured.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
Let us help you get back on track and fight for the compensation you deserve.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
It's like AT&T knew what we wanted.
Just the other day, we were saying we wanted a TV experience that fit into our life.
And our budget.
And then we see this U-verse TV deal.
Call to get U-verse TV for just $19 a month with qualifying bundles. Keep the same great price for 2 years guaranteed. Plus, get a total home DVR included for life.
Great deal, huh? And get this, I've always wanted to put a TV in here, but there's no TV outlet. Now we can. By adding the wireless receiver from AT&T, we can move the TV where we want.
And with the total home DVR, we can record 4 shows at once and play them back in any room. We never miss a show now.
Call to get U-verse TV for just $19 a month with qualifying bundles. Keep the same great price for 2 years guaranteed. Plus, get a total home DVR included for life.
This AT&T deal was made for us.
Look, they even knew I wanted to record this show.
That was me, hon.
That was her.
When you come to Washburn Carpets, you'll only deal with one person, me, from start to finish. You and I can work together to choose the perfect carpet for your home. I'll personally come to your home to take accurate measurements. Together, we'll work up a price, which includes carpet, pad, installation, and removal of your old carpet. I'll work closely with our carpet installers to make sure your carpet is installed exactly the way you want. And when the job is finished, I'll make sure you're satisfied. So come to Washburn, where you'll always find first-quality carpets for less.
There is a lot at stake when you've been seriously injured.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We've worked for the insurance companies, and we will fight for every dollar you deserve.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
On our next broadcast, coming to you from Carson City, the Lieutenant Governor, Mark Hutchison, will join us. We'll see you then. Thanks for watching.